This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session was first published back in the month of January of the year 2017. It's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture for this message is taken from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28, verses 1 and 2. And if you have these scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. It said, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." The title for this message is Settling for Less Than God's Best. This is part number one of a four-part message. Now, the message for this month and for the next few months takes a look at a mostly widespread problem facing an overwhelming majority of those that name the name of Christ. That problem is one of the main reasons that many Christians never seem to be full of joy and peace of mind. It is why many people that are not saved see no reason to change their ungodly lifestyle for Christianity. There is no difference in how they cope with every problem that they face them and the believer. When things are going good, people will be full of joy. And when things start going bad, which happens to everyone at some point in time, they, the ungodly, and most believers fall apart. The main reason for this is these believers don't know just exactly what God has in store for them and how to obtain it. You see, when you know that you have, for example, $1 million in the bank, then no matter how bad the economy gets, or you lose your job, and the prospects of getting another one right away are slim, and your monthly liabilities or bills are only $2,000, you have very little to worry about. Therefore, you can relax and continue to enjoy life. Compare that with someone in the same situation that has no money in the bank, but yet has the same amount of bills, $2,000 a month. He or she is going to have a major problem with worrying about how things will turn out. The difference between the two is one has the necessary backup funds to take care of their needs while the other one does not. Now, let's say, in the example of the second person, an anonymous donor puts $1 million in his or her bank account but didn't tell them that it was in there. This person would still be worrying and fretting about how they were going to make ends meet despite having all that money in their account. Or, in another example, using this same individual, the bank calls him or her and tells them that they have $1 million in their account, but the person doesn't believe it. What happens? They still are going around worrying about how things are going to turn out. Now, if you can grasp that, then you can grasp the idea that just like in all three of these examples, the same thing holds true for the relationship between God and man, in that God has stored up for all of us blessings that, as the world puts it, are even far greater than we can even imagine. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Now, when it comes to the first example I presented of the one that, because he knew what he has stored up when things go bad, had nothing to worry about, so too the believer that is fully aware of who it is that they serve and what he has promised to those that walk uprightly before him, they, the believer, can endure any hardship that comes their way and still remain full of joy. And what does joy do for you? It gives you the strength to stand in the midst of any storm that comes your way. look in Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse number 10. A person in this position is one who can never be defeated in any situation and who will be a success in whatever they endeavor to do, because they, once again, know who they serve and what he has in store for them. How does this person know what God has in store for him or her? By being obedient to his word, which says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you will notice the first part of this scripture, that is in caps, well, you'd have to be reading the track to see it, but the first part of the scripture, it directs us to study his word, the Bible, so that we can show ourselves obedient to him, talking about God, so that we can be in a position to receive the blessings he has in store for us. Part of this studying includes in-depth research into his word so that we can get the correct direction that God wants us to follow. That is what the second part of the above scripture says, that is in all caps, is telling us. You see, the Bible is the word of God, and it tells us everything we need to understand, all the major factors that go into our lives and how to deal with them so that we can have the best that he has to offer. Naturally, if his word is supposed to be rightly divided, then it stands to reason that it can be wrongly divided. And it is this part that is the direct cause of people either not knowing what God has in store for them or not believing it at all. When most people read the Bible, they read it like it is something that gives the reader their choice of over a thousand of ways to do things to get what you want from God. People will read one scripture and build their entire life's philosophy on it. The problem is, one scripture alone does not necessarily give the reader a clear picture of where God wants to take us. My view of the correct way to read the Bible is, if you read a scripture or scriptures that give you a certain point of view, then you read another in some other part of the Bible that gives you what seems like a contradiction to the first part of the first scriptures, then your interpretation of the first scripture or scriptures was wrong, and the correct message lies somewhere in between. God never contradicts himself. If you keep this in mind, then it will help you to understand when you see scriptures that appear to contradict each other. It takes work, Thus, the use of the word workman in the scripture above to find the correct message that God wants us to receive. If a person, for lack of a better word, is lazy in their walk with Christ, then they will be walking a path that will lead them to their not being able to achieve what God wants them to, and thus will be continuously falling short and missing out on life's best, and will begin to believe and accept that what they have is all that they are destined to have. They therefore are settling for less, far less than God's best for their lives. If you will look at the subject scriptures, you will see a promise from God, no less, of what is in store for any nation or individual that will be totally obedient to Him in every aspect of their lives or existence. The scripture goes on to say that these blessings will literally run over the nation or individual. How many of you would like God's blessings to run you down? I know I would. Now, just to get acquainted with the blessings that He has in store for those of you that are obedient to Him, let's take a condensed view of the next few verses, going down to verse number 14. In verse number 3, it says, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. You will be blessed wherever you live and wherever you work." Verse number 4 says, "Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thine cattle, the increase of thine kind, and thy flocks of thy sheep. Your children will be blessed. Whatever you produce or invest in will be blessed. Your wealth will be multiplied abundantly." Verse number 5 says, "Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store." What is this saying? Your food supply will never run out. Your bank account will never run empty, meaning you will never go hungry or be in debt. Verse number 6 says, "Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." This means that when you enter into any business venture or even into a situation, as well as a person's house, and or leave them, you will be blessed. Verse number 7 says, "The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways." Those that rise up against you and try to do you harm will be defeated and run in terror from you. Verse number 8, "The Lord shall command," now I like this part, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Like I said, notice, God will command the blessings to come on you so that whatever you set your mind to do, wherever you are, he will bless. Verse number 9. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Can it be made any clearer? These blessings again are contingent on your obedience to his direction. These are the prerequisites. Verse number 10 says, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Those that would be your enemies will be so afraid of you that they will keep clear or stay clear of you and even want to be your friend. Verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. You will have many healthy children and be very prosperous. Verse number 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Quite simply put, if you need it, God will provide it. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Then verse number 14 says, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Here it's saying, everything that you do will cause people to look up to you for advice. You will be the one that everyone will want to be like, but only if you will be obedient to him, not straying to the left or the right, or following the directions of anyone else but him. Now, this is a very condensed look at the blessings that God has in store for the believer. As I mentioned earlier, they go far beyond what we can even ask or think. So, with that being the outline, let me ask you this. Are you settling for less than what God has for you? Well, let's look at the situations many believers find themselves in. We know that the unbelievers are essentially in the position that they are in because of their total ignorance as to what God wants to bless them with. They are quite comfortable in the way their lives are going and have accepted their station in life as being something that they are in control of, and as such, they need no one telling them how to live their lives because life is what you make it. They are quite comfortable in the way their lives are going. If you are well off, then that was what you were predestined to be. And if you are poor and destitute, then that is what you were predestined to be. The only way to achieve a better life is by some ungodly means like stealing or conning some rich person or a gullible person out of their money. Have you ever wondered why it is that there is such a dislike for rich people by those that hardly have enough to take care of themselves? If you will look at their political environment, the two main parties that are seen as the party of the rich, which is the GOP, and the party of the average and the poor, which is Democrats. In campaign after campaign, candidates in the Democratic Party will usually paint the GOP as the party of those people who, by some underhanded means, have attained their wealth. Why do they think like this? It is because they have settled for what can best be described as a completely blind view of what circumstances help to bring about that type of prosperity that most of the wealthy enjoy. In most of these cases, it is part of God's blessing plan. More next month. Well, that's the end of this part of our message. And I hope you can begin to see where we're going with this. And I'm going to withhold commentary on it until we get to the end. But essentially, we see it all the time. That's all the Democrats do is complain about the wealth of the wealthy, and how that somehow or other the wealthy have taken money from the poor, which we know, even though that might be the case in a very small fraction of the situations, that's not the whole picture. But anyway, until we get into the end of the message, the commentary is will be at the end of the message. So in closing this part of the message, let me just say, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together again for another part of this message or any of the other messages from the Word of God. May God bless you and your families real good. Good day.